All right, my good people of the internet, hanging out here inside the Cafe Kubal Studios. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and we are so happy to be here with you. Cafe Kubal, 3501 James Street, 324 West Water Street, 401 South Salina Street in Syracuse, New York. You can also get them by going to the corner of Route 11 and Taft Road at Sweetheart Corners. So make sure that you do that, and you can, and they're celebrating a 1-year anniversary there. So make sure that you definitely go out and do that. And of course, we'd be more than happy to see you at 343 Fayette Street in Manlius, New York, in their giant behemoth of a brown striped building and their double decker cafe. So we'd love to see you out there for Cafe Kubal. You are inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. We thank you so much for being here. And you can head out to the Wildcat for indoor and outdoor seating now that we're here officially in summer as of yesterday, June 21st. So you can come out and hang out with us at the Wildcat Sports Pub and enjoy yourself some indoor and outdoor seating. You can order from them as well by going to your phone right now and calling 315-487-2222. And they open around 11 o'clock. So just about less than a half an hour's time, you can give them a call, 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat. And once you have all that set up, oh my gee, we have Mike Sofka. So, OMG. Sweet.
Yeah, three
Jehoshaphat.
Three computers, two cell phones. I'm sitting here for an hour and I'm already in.
Yeah. So Mike, let me just preface this really quick here. Mike did nothing wrong. Facebook is a beast. So, Mike, we are so happy to have you. We're thankful for you being here where sports meets that thing called life. We appreciate you being here. Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com is how you get in touch with Mike 24/7. You can also go to our Winning Fantasy Football group on Facebook, and you can hang out with us there. So with that being said, Mike, we appreciate you being here, and we thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. And, you know, thank you for your patience, brother. How are you?
Better now.
I could see you the whole time. I was like, what are we doing? So, but it's so happy to have you here. Mr. Mike Sofka, hanging out with us. They can try to knock you down, but they can't keep you out. I'm taking Mike out of jail. So we're very happy to have you here. So AFC wide receiver cores is what we're talking about. That's where we are today. The Fantasy Football Power Hour, as I said, proudly brought to you by the Wildcat Sports Pub, your premier place to watch all the games. They have the NFL ticket. They have a giant screen. You can call 315-487-2222 to reserve the screen and stage area for your party. So make sure you get out there today. And Mr. Sofka is coming to us from the second home of Wake Up Call, which is the great state of Florida, the place where people get to be free and have fun, I guess. There's a lot of beaches. There's a lot of Disney. There's Universal. And I can't wait to go back. And we're going to be doing another week down in the Sunshine State coming up here next week. So with that being said, Mr. Sofka, happy to be here with you. Happy to be in the AFC. We have brought people a video that you can see. You can hear us talk about every single one of the quarterback situations in the 32 NFL franchises going into this season. We also brought you our running backs of the AFC, our running backs of the NFC broadcast, our wide receivers of the NFC, and today, wide receivers of the AFC is what we are bringing you. You can get all this content by going to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt, and we just uploaded three of those videos, and they're right at the top for you, so you can't miss Mr. Mike Sofka's fantastical beard and my goatee. So with that being said, Mr. Sofka, let's go to the AFC North and the Baltimore Ravens and your thoughts on their wide receiving core, sans Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, you know, you look at it at first glance and you're like, you know, I'm not real impressed with these guys. I don't know if these guys have any value for my fantasy roster. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to make a mistake if you avoid this situation here. There's value to be had on this roster here, and that's Rashad Bateman. He was injured for a lot of the year last year, and he still came back and got 68 targets. He's going to be the leader. He's going to be the guy now. He's going to be the guy that's stepping into Hollywood Henderson's big play shoes. So I'm not saying he's going to be Hollywood Henderson there. I'm just saying this is a guy who I have ranked 33 right now, who you can get as your fourth receiver. So be patient, and you can grab this guy. And if you're in a league where they reward you for return yards, Devin Duvernay is not a bad option. He's going to return both kicks and punts. So there's another sneaky option for you that nobody's going to know about. These are guys you can pick up at the very end of the draft, just before what? Your kicker in your defense. That's right. So I'm not looking at value anywhere else on the roster. They did just bring in six rookies here. But again, the two guys that I mentioned, Bateman's the sneaky guy. I have him at 33. Get him as your wide receiver four, and Devin Duvernay if they pay for returns.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I agree with you, Mike. I think that, you know, there's value in going out and getting Rashad Bateman. We talked about him a little bit last year as a rookie, and now, you know, he has to be the guy, right? They have James Prochet, who I covered at SMU, and then they have, you know, and Prochet's not an NFL household name yet, and neither is this long list of guys behind him. Wallace Moore, Victor Bolden, Bridges, Polk, Webb, and William, and Devon Williams. So Devin Williams, or I think it's Devon Williams. So that's where we're at right now. And, you know, so we'll see what the receiving core is going to be. It's open season for Baltimore. Are they going to extend Lamar Jackson? I would imagine so. And what are they going to do with this team as they step forward? Because you don't want to keep losing your receivers. So Rashad Bateman has value. He has value. Devin Duvernay, like you said, return value. He is a deep one, right? He's a flex. If you have to go and get a specialist in our leagues of the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge, we allot you the opportunity of a defense and special teams. So you could just draft the Ravens and you get Duvernay and everybody that would be involved, including maybe Prochet. But this is a young group of wide receivers where anybody can step up. Rashad Bateman and sneaky, just kind of sleeper watch James Prochet in your free agency. But Rashad Bateman is going to have immediate value because there is nobody else there. No Miles Boykin, no Marquise Hollywood Brown, Sammy Watkins is gone. So this is Bateman's to take, and you shouldn't draft him high. But if you're looking for a starting wide receiver who's the number one on a team as it stands right now, and you're looking to fill out the rest of your roster there, this is not a bad bet for you to look at. And Lamar Jackson doesn't get the credit that he deserves when it comes to the fact that he's better, as he said, when he threw, what, five touchdowns in his opening. He said pretty good for a running back. So, you know, just remember that he's better than some people in the media say he is. Not me. I've been interviewing that guy. I interviewed him for 2 or 3 years and his coach, Bobby Petrino, at the time. I told you Lamar Jackson was going to be a good quarterback in the NFL when I feel like I was one of four in the world. So Mike and I have not been anti-Lamar. And it's paid off for your fantasy if you had them. Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals. We got asked this question yesterday. And so I'd ask you to address it as you go. Who holds more value on the Bengals receiving core going into this season, Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins? I think the answer is easy, but we've been asked the question, and I hand it to you.
It is easy. It's Ja'Marr Chase. This is a flashback to – maybe a couple years ago when everybody assumed Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were both top 10 receivers, and they were right. And the same thing this year. You know, I can only say there's only maybe two guys that can, you know, outpace Ja'Marr Chase for the top of the heap here in my wide receiver rankings in total, not just the AFC. And those are two NFC guys. So he's the best AFC. And of course, I'm talking about Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson. Ja'Marr Chase is the guy in the AFC here that we're talking about. This is a guy who can do anything. I'm amazed by this guy's skills. He's got speed. He's got hops. He runs routes well. He's got hands. I like this guy a lot. Ja'Marr Chase, number three on my rankings. And then I got T. Higgins, number 10. So there you have it. And I think T. Higgins can finish stronger than 10. So we're just going to have to see with that. But Tyler Boyd, still a little bit of a value there, but he's an end-of-draft type of kind of guy. Somebody's going to overdraft him. I have him at 52 on the rankings. No one else on the wide receiver core am I even thinking about employing, but I'll tell you what, you could do a lot worse than Ja'Marr Chase and or T. Higgins.
Yeah, you know, and I think T. Higgins, I mean, I think he definitely holds value on this team. I don't think it's that he doesn't. I think that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is the clear one here. What do we get here? Only would love to see how you guys size up in a brilliant fantasy media tournament. Again, draft value, ADP for Chase, end of first, and Higgins, end of third. Not that easy. Not saying who is going to have absolute better numbers draft value. The better draft value is Ja'Marr Chase. We answered that. So, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has the better draft value. He is the better overall option. T. Higgins got lost in the shuffle a little bit with what – I mean, I told you, Mike, when Ja'Marr Chase came in, he played with Joe Burrow at LSU. He won a championship with Joe Burrow at LSU. This was clear. This was clear that the draft value was with Ja'Marr Chase before he even stepped on the field. T. Higgins and him had a good relationship, and it was ironic because Higgins was against him when Higgins was at Clemson, and they were playing in that championship game. You had T. Higgins at Clemson. You had Joe Burrow at LSU. They created a nice tandem together that was something, but not as strong as Ja'Marr Chase, because look at all the time they have together, and it's translated to the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase has the number one value, and as Mike said, when we give you our rankings coming up here, and hopefully we'll be doing that from Florida together in the same room, so we don't have to wait for Facebook to let Mike out of jail. So when we are in the same room to do that, you and I will be doing our rankings again, Mike. And when we do those rankings, we'll have the opportunity to release this. But I think it's clear to say that Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals, Justin Jefferson of the Vikings, Cooper Kupp of the Rams, and Stephon Diggs of the Bills are going to be very high on that ranker list and easily, arguably, in the top four in the country, top five in the country. So Ja'Marr Chase holds the value. T. Higgins still has it. Average draft position of T. Higgins, I would imagine, depending on how big your draft is going to be, if it's 10 to 12 teams, I'd see him going in the third to fourth round. Speaking of Higgins, I think Ja'Marr Chase could go in the first round, definitely in the second round in a draft like that. He's going to be one of the first receivers off the board. I think Cooper Kupp will be first. I think Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson will be second. I would pick at this point, I would probably no, I don't know if I would say that. I'd probably go Chase over Jefferson, and we'll talk about that as we get closer, but, you know, not a bad bet for that. So I would imagine you're going to see Ja'Marr Chase's name off your draft board within the first couple rounds. I don't think he'll make it to round three. I think T. Higgins will, and depending on how your draft is going, T. Higgins could make it to four. So that's how I would look at that. I think that, yeah. So, Greg, to answer your question, there could be a two-round difference depending on how many people are in your fantasy football draft. Next up here, but yeah, the values with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and I wouldn't really name anybody else to be drafted from the Bengals as of right now. Cleveland Browns, they have Amari Cooper, believe it or not, signed a five-year deal with the Cowboys. That didn't go 5 years. Went two, I believe. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, you and I talked about him before, Anthony Schwartz, and a bunch of names that we don't know yet in the NFL. So it's Amari Cooper or bust. Jarvis Landry, to me, was a relative bust in Cleveland, and Odell Beckham Jr. was the definition of a bust. He had a couple moments. He's kind of like when you're on the 4th of July, you're trying to light a firecracker, and you try to light it, and it doesn't, and you try to light it, and it falls on the ground, and then you get two off, but you almost blow off your hand with the other two. That was Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland. What are your thoughts? Because right now it seems like Amari Cooper, but it also seems like he's going to have to throw the ball to himself at this point.
Well, right now, Jason Pierre-Paul's cringing at the thought of what you just said because he's been through that more than once there. Hey, Amari Cooper is the guy that I would want. 18 on my rankings. He's a guy I would want, but I would want him for my wide receiver 2, maybe even 3. I'm not sure who's going to throw him the ball. I'm not sure if Deshaun Watson's going to be playing. I don't – can they put Baker Mayfield out there? I know Deshaun Watson just settled with 20 of 24 women in those civil cases. But there's rumor in the NFL that he could get a lengthy suspension this year, maybe even the year. So do they trot Baker Mayfield back out there? I think that's damaged goods at this point. Then they got Jacoby Brissett and Joshua Dobbs. I'm more concerned about the quarterback situation than I am the receiver situation. And until that's resolved, I'm going to stay away. I mean, if I'm drafting now, I'm staying away because I don't know what's going on there in Cleveland. Look, Amari Cooper's a number one receiver, but if it's without a doubt and he's the only guy there and you could double cover him or make sure your number one guy who cuts off half the field is on him, and I got Jacoby Brissett or Joshua Dobbs throwing him the ball, yeah, dude, just some headaches you don't need to bring on to yourself. This is another one. Now, with that being said, if Deshaun Watson is the quarterback week one, and we know that by draft time, then I'm kind of in. I'm looking at Amari Cooper as a wide receiver too, mid-range wide receiver too. Nothing else after that. Tremendous drop to Donovan Peoples-Jones and David Bell. I like those guys. I just don't like them to draft. Maybe pick them up later. Maybe keep them in mind. See how David Bell performs here in the slot. But, yeah, just Amari Cooper. But until the quarterback situation is resolved, I'm staying away.
Yeah, you know, and I feel the same way. I mean, I wasn't sold on Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. there when they knew their quarterback was Baker Mayfield, and they don't know what the hell's going on. I'm staying away from Amari Cooper right now. I'm surprised that Amari Cooper would leave Dallas, who was in a place where if they could just get their heads together, had an opportunity to be a contender in the playoffs and even make a Super Bowl, and now you're on a team where I would venture to say if Amari Cooper doesn't get out there in the next couple of years, he might be in the Cleveland graveyard. So I would stay away from all that. Pittsburgh, but I wish him the best. Chase Claypool says he's one of the top three receivers in the whole country. I say different. George Pickens is coming from Ohio State, OHIO, and he is a new guy out there. Calvin Austin III, my guy from Memphis, is out there as well. Miles Boykin comes over from the Ravens. Anthony Miller, another guy that I covered from Memphis. So two Memphis guys on the same team, him coming from Chicago. And Gunnar Olszewski, I'll tell it to you like this. I am not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but the Pittsburgh Steelers keep bringing guys on their team that I know, that I've interviewed, a lot of guys that I've interviewed or teams that I've covered. So it's like they're forcing me to become a low-key, like, hey, when Jacksonville's off, I'm watching. But Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and then a bunch of rookies, and then Miles Boykin and Anthony Miller have had some experience. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, this is a quarterback situation here that I'm worried about. Mitch Trubisky, Pennsylvania, is a starter right now. Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? I don't think it's going to matter which way that ends up falling. I'm going to watch it just out of curiosity more so than not. But I think Deontay Johnson is going to get his no matter who the quarterback is there. I got him right now ranked as number 15 on my rankings. He could sneak in and be a bottom end wide receiver one, but I see him as a strong wide receiver two. And Chase Claypool's right. He is one of the top receivers in the league. On my adjusted explosiveness index from 3 years ago, yes, he topped the charts. So does he have it in him? Mathematically, statistically, there's no reason why he's not one of the top receivers in the league. Well, there is. There's about six or seven other guys in his way. Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Mike Evans. I could go on.
Yeah.
So I get it, and I love the confidence, but right now he's number 40 on my ranking, and a lot of that will shake itself out. I think he's going to climb up a little closer. He could be a surprise guy. He could be overdrafted in your league. I wouldn't draft him any higher than a bottom-end wide receiver three. Really, though, a wide receiver four in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay Johnson, I'm not sold. I have to see something. I know somebody's going to go for Claypool or Johnson high. I honestly am going to keep my eye on Pickens and Austin III. I'm going to keep my eye. I mean, I want to see if Miles Boykin and Anthony Miller make the team as well as Gunner, but I'm going to keep an eye on Pickens and Austin because this is open season right now and they have an opportunity to make an immediate impact. Deontay Johnson's been a three, at best a two. Claypool's been a three. He's been a slot. He's been a forgotten guy at times. So this is a giant question mark in Pittsburgh. The quarterback situation will eventually go to Kenny Pickett, and I think Deontay Johnson will benefit. I think eventually we could see him rise, but right now I don't see a wide receiver above a wide receiver three on this team. So I'm not going high on anybody. I might just let these people fill it out, and if one of those two rookies is there toward the end of my draft and I have an opportunity to take one more wide receiver, I may take a chance, or I may just wait and circle it and make a move within the first couple weeks because I think Pickens or Calvin Austin III have an opportunity to make a move at some point during this season, and I think you need to keep your eye on that. Buffalo Bills, as we head to the AFC East. Actually, I'm sorry, we always do north, south, east, west, so let's do that. So let's go to the AFC South, and we'll start with the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans receiving core has Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, John Mechie III, who's a rookie, Chris Conley, who went from the Chiefs to the Jaguars to the Texans in short order. Philip Dorsett went from the Patriots to the Colts to the Jaguars to the Texans in short order. It's funny how receivers and just players in general, once they go to the AFC South, they seem to go to multiple teams in the AFC South, like Philip Dorsett and Chris Conley. What are your thoughts? And Jalen Camp is there as well.
Brandon Cooks is the guy here by default. I mean, he's the guy. He's like, you look around the wide receiver room and you're like, not him, not him, not him. All right, I guess it's you. I mean, Brandon Cooks hasn't done enough to wow us, but then again, he's had some unstable situation the past couple of years in Houston, so I don't blame him. That franchise has been a train wreck. Brandon Cooks has been the one steady thing that they could count on. He's going to get his as long as he's healthy, as long as he can get on the field. He's number 17 on my rankings right now. Look out for a Nico Collins, but look out for a John Metchie as well. Oh, John Metchie may not have been the best receiver on his own college team. He didn't have to be. Went to Alabama. Everybody's good on that team. He runs 4.48. That's good enough out of the slot. They're going to make some hay with him with Davis Mills, second-year quarterback, the guy nobody expected to play. This is a guy who's proved that he's got the smarts. He can be on the field. So I think Davis Mills is in a growing situation. Brandon Cooks is going to be the steady Eddie guy. Look for him and John Metchie to try and develop some sort of relationship a la a Cooper Kupp situation where he comes out of, you know, he's a name, everybody's watching him, then all of a sudden, boom, he's an overnight sensation. That could happen with John Metchie here. But I'm not sold that that's going to happen. It could happen, but I'm not sold it's going to happen. I got John Metchie and Nico Collins in the 70s on my rankings. But again, be watching these guys toward the front of the year. And if you sense a breakout a la Cooper Kupp, then what you got to do is you got to make a play for those guys early. Chances are, if somebody's already drafted them or picked them up, they're wise to that situation as well. So if you can snatch him toward the end of the draft, why not pick up a John Metchie at the end of the draft? I doubt he's going to be there, though. He's going to be an Alabama fan or albeit a Texans fan in your league there, and they're going to take him. So, again, the one draftable guy, Brandon Cooks, number 17 on the rankings right now.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Cooks, listen, he is, like you said, he's the default, right? He's the guy that has to be the guy. He is the only name in this receiving core that's had longevity in Houston. So, you know, but – and listen, I think Davis Mills can be the future of this team. And Kyle Allen's a guy that was out in Houston, and I've covered Houston for almost a decade now. So, you know, I'm happy that Davis Mills is there. I think there's going to be something to say about this. I think that he'll do better than maybe people give him credit for. And, you know, Brandon Cooks will have value. I think he's right now, to me, he's a low end wide receiver two, a high end three, in my opinion. And John Metchie, the third, is a guy to watch from Alabama. The ACL injury, he's questionable for week one right now, but we'll see where he goes from here. I'm excited for Davis Mills. I honestly am. And I think he's going to give a positive future. Who would have thunk, right? People freaked out. Oh, Deshaun Watson's not playing. Why isn't he playing? And now we have to go with this rookie that we drafted in the third round. And now you look at the situation with Deshaun Watson, and I think that you're going to be happy that you have Davis Mills, because now you don't have to deal with the drama. And I think Davis Mills is going to be better than people give him credit for. And I, here on the show, I'm going to go on record giving him some credit, and we'll see what that looks like down the road. So, yeah, Brandon Cooks, I think he's a low-end two, high-end three. John Metchie the third, you take a flyer at the end. Like Mike said, someone that's an Alabama fan might go ahead and draft him late and just give him a shot. But I think that ultimately he's somebody that's a late-round pickup like a Pickens, like Calvin Austin the third. And then you kind of just hope for the best and prepare for – maybe you're going to have to drop him at some point during the year, but keep him for a bit. The Colts went young as well at wide receiver. They have Paris Campbell, who's been in for a little bit, but they have Alec Pierce, my guy from Cincinnati, and Michael Pittman Jr., who has risen as, you know, the unceremonious exit of T.Y. Hilton from the NFL. He was there, and then he wasn't, and now here we are with Michael Pittman Jr. So do you think that Michael Pittman and some of these young guns can – have an immediate positive effect on fantasy football with Matt Ryan as their quarterback?
I think Michael Pittman can. I'm not sure about the rest of the crew. I mean, I like to take a flyer on Alex Pierce late in the draft. He's a strong runner, 4.4, 6.3 guy out of Cincinnati. You know, Matt Ryan, you know, it's funny because Matt Ryan's leaving Atlanta and Desmond Ridder, Alex Pierce's quarterback from Cincinnati, is in Atlanta now. So Alec Pierce is definitely a guy who want to be on your radar in a dynasty situation. I like what You know, I like the tools he has. I think he's going to be a good receiver. Paris Campbell, I think if he could ever stay on the field, he would be a great guy. Michael Pittman is going to be a guy, though, that I'm going to look to be the number one receiver, first cap out of the chute. But, again, I'm not saying, oh, wow, he's going to be your number one. No, I said he's going to be their number one. He's number 12 right now. He's on that borderline of being wide receiver one, wide receiver two. So if you can get him as your wide receiver two, I'm happy with Michael Pittman. I'm probably staying away from Paris Campbell. I'm going to wait and see approach with him still. And like I said, Alec Pierce, maybe late in the draft, I'll take a flyer on him.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Pierce, yeah, another guy. You know, there's one of these rookies, a few of these rookies are going to step up here in the receiving core that we're talking about. And Alec Pierce is one of those guys from Cincinnati that was drafted high and maybe very well low on your radar right now. So someone's got to step it up. I think Michael Pittman Jr. is somebody that I would put a mid-range second wide receiver designation on because of Matt Ryan coming in, but still them needing to get comfortable together. He's young, and he really hasn't had a true quarterback be consistent with him because he's had a carousel of quarterbacks coming in. So it's not like you have to unteach him the ways of somebody he's been with for multiple years because, unfortunately, Michael Pittman Jr. hasn't had that consistency, but maybe that'll bode well for Matt Ryan and the crew that he doesn't have somebody that he was so used to playing with. So I think Michael Pittman, like I said, a mid-range second wide receiver, and I think Alec Pierce is another guy on that list of Calvin Austin III, on that list of George Pickens, on that list of John Metchie III that you go later in your draft, especially in a deep draft, and take a chance on it. There's some people that just won't draft rookies, and I take full advantage of that. I was laughed at when I did my first ever fantasy draft and I drafted Fred Taylor. And then I had people begging for me, including the guy that laughed the hardest, to let go of Fred Taylor. And I said, no, I thought that I'm stupid and I make dumb picks. So let me keep my dumb pick, who is the rookie of the year. Jacksonville Jaguars, ironically, from Fred Taylor to the Jaguars. Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones II, Zay Jones. I had Zay Jones in college. He set a record for career receiving yards when he was with East Carolina for the entire nation of Division I FBS football. Laviska Shenault is still there. He's the only young wide receiver still left on the team that they had drafted. Laquon Treadwell is back on. Jamal Agnew, who did a fantastic job returning on special teams for a touchdown, and that was the first time in a long time the Jaguars could boast of something that exciting. I think it was 100-some-odd yards that Jamal did. I mean, it might have been 103. I believe. And so what do you think of the receiving core of the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this core and I'm like, well, I got Marvin Jones there. He's 154 years old. I got Zay Jones, who no relation, but hasn't really lived up to his potential anywhere. I got Christian Kirk, who I thought disappointed out west. So now he moves east, takes over the slot. I think the best receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars isn't in the receiving room. I think he's in a running back room, and I think his name is Travis Etienne. I wouldn't doubt if he's one of the team leaders in receptions by the end of the year. I think Christian Kirk's going to end up being that guy, though, in reality, just by default. I think he needed a fresh start, maybe. Trevor Lawrence is not an unpolished quarterback. Yeah, he's a young quarterback in the NFL, but he's very still much worth the number one pick they spent on him. He'd have to have a absolute train wreck of a couple of seasons here. Oh, here I go. I blessed him already here. Look, Christian Kirk is a guy that I would take with as my wide receiver three. He's 31 on my rankings. I'm not sure if he should be that high. So, you know, again, a lot can change between now and then, but Christian Kirk, I'm not drafting either one of the Jones guys. Hey, if I am drafting in the Dynasty League, I may take interest in Kevin Austin here. Kevin Austin Jr., of course, out of Notre Dame, 4.4 speed. This is a guy who I can see climbing up that depth chart with ease. Well, not with ease. He's still got Laquon Treadwell and Laviska Shenault in the way. And, you know, you wonder about those guys, Laquon Treadwell and Laviska Shenault. Maybe they just need an injury to Zay Jones or Marvin Jones to get in there and Laviska Shenault show everybody that he wasn't just a flash in the pan. Laquon Treadwell, show everybody that he is worthy of being on the roster. So, but really, in reality, right now where we're at is Christian Kirk, wide receiver three. Everybody else is just watch him.
Yeah, you know, and I think Christian Kirk, like you said, you know, he's going to get involved. Marvin Jones Jr. and Laquon Treadwell have shown that they have the best relationship with Trevor Lawrence as of last season. And so that plays a lot in it. I was there. I was on site. I've interviewed the guys. I spent time, you know, in Jacksonville at the stadium and doing interviews after the fact, and got to speak with Marvin Jones. And he considers himself to be one of the leaders in that room. So, well, in general, not just wide receiver core, but with the team. So, I mean, from what I saw, and I interviewed Jones and Treadwell, I think that both of them have the relationship. What does that mean for your fantasy team? Probably not a lot of consistency. Probably, at least, you know, not. I think it's going to be up and down in Jacksonville. I think they're trying to figure it out. I think Trevor Lawrence might throw to 6 or 7 different guys. I don't know if there's going to be anyone that's going to step out in such a big way to make us say, wow, fantasy-wise, you have to have this guy. You know, so Christian Kirk's trying to start his career, essentially. Zay Jones is trying to do the same thing. Marvin Jones is trying to keep it going. Laviska Shenault is trying to find something. And Laquan Treadwell is trying to prove to Jacksonville with a new staff that he deserves to be there after they had him, let him go, and brought him back. So, you know, this is a giant question mark. I don't think that it leads to any massive fantasy points. If I had to put it on anybody to be that guy that could really be a spotlight, I think it's going to be Marvin Jones or Christian Kirk. And I think Laquan Treadwell holds a little bit of value for you. But as far as where these guys are in my rankings, they fall very low, because I don't think that this is a situation that's going to pay off dividends for you on a week-to-week basis. And I don't want to lean on them to win me a championship. Tennessee Titans, taking a look at them in the AFC South. We have Robert Woods, who's here now. And we also have Treylon Burks, the guy who they say is like A.J. Brown, and they let A.J. Brown go because allegedly Tennessee was too cheap to keep the guy who proved himself. So you found a guy who's like him who hasn't proved himself, and in 3 years we'll see if they let Treylon Burks go to buy another guy at a cheaper value. And then they have a bunch of non-household names up to this point. So Nick Westbrook, Des Fitzpatrick, some of those guys filled in time last year, but Woods and Burks are leading a receiving core that has no recognizable guy from last season. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, normally you would just take a quick look at this and you go, oh, Robert Woods, he's the guy. He's the number one guy. Go ahead and definitely draft him as your wide receiver one. He's the number one guy there. Well, let's not dismiss the fact that they went out and got Malik Willis. Now, I know they know that Ryan Tannehill is still their quarterback. I don't think Malik Willis is going to take over right away, and I think that Malik Willis needs time. So, yeah, no, Malik Willis probably out of the equation, barring an injury or something. But Robert Woods is, I don't think he's the guy he once was, you know, he passed injury here with the Rams. I think this is a guy who's on the downside of his career, and that's okay. He still has a place on the roster. He still has a place on a team, just about any team in the NFL for that matter. But I wouldn't look for him to be the leader of your wide receiver core. Now, you mentioned the Treylon Burks situation here. That's what they did. They were at 26, and they traded A.J. Brown to go up to 18 to get Treylon Burks. And like you said, similar guys, big body guys, quick guys, same guy. And maybe this is the formula. Maybe this is their budget. You know, when you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but there's contracts to come into play. It's not fantasy football. You know, it's contract stuff. So that stuff comes into play, and maybe he just didn't fit the budget, and it is what it is. As long as they can replace him or think they can replace him, that's fine with me. So I look at that situation. I go, wow, I wonder why they did that. What did they see in him? So that piques my interest in Treylon Burks. Look, I'm interested in Treylon Burks. I think he could be the number one receiver out of all the receivers, but I'm not going to take him any more than my wide receiver 4. He's number 41 on my ranking. Robert Woods is 4 places behind that at 45. And Westbrook in kind hasn't shown anything yet. The youngster, Racy McMath, the youngster as well. So at the core, this is a young receiver room. They got 4 new guys they brought in. And, you know, those 2 other guys are second-year players here. So this is a young room. They got a young quarterback in the stable. This could be a receiving core of the future, maybe for dynasty purposes. But for this year, redraft, again, Treylon Burks and or Robert Woods, your wide receiver 4 at best.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately for me, I mean, I think Treylon Burks, listen, he's a question mark. A.J. Brown was proving himself with his numbers, right? 1,000-yard receiver in 2 or 3 seasons. And if he had played through a full season, arguably he was going to have 3 seasons of 1,000 yards. So, you know, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. And that's that's who he is. We don't know who Treylon Burks is going to be. And Robert Woods, why you would leave? I understand Cooper Kupp passed you, and Cooper Kupp elevated his game and became the consistent guy and above and beyond the expectations of many, except for probably Cooper Kupp and his loved ones. So, I mean, ultimately, I understand Robert Woods saying, okay, well, this is never going to be me being the number one guy. So I understand you going to Tennessee, but you got to show a lot of stuff, right? You were in Buffalo, you got lost. And I saw him when he was at USC playing up against Syracuse at MetLife in college. Robert Woods was in a good position with the Rams. I don't know if this is going to be a better place for him, but I could see him saying, hey, I want to be the number one guy. And right now, by default, you are, but it's how fast Treylon Burks can catch into this thing. I would lean more on Burks than I would on Woods at this point. I think both of them have some value, but I'm putting them down as my third or fourth receiver just because I don't know. And, you know, they're both going to play with Ryan Tannehill for the first time, and that's a big question mark for me. And I, you know, when in doubt, they can run the ball, and they brought in some help to Derrick Henry. They got two big-time bruisers, and honestly, Tennessee could run the rock, and I would totally understand it because they got two guys that should be out there doing that thing. So we'll see where we go from here, but I don't have either one of them high. The Buffalo Bills, as we head to the AFC East, we'll start there in our AFC coverage of every single receiving core of the 16 franchises that call the AFC home in the NFL for the 2022-23 fantasy football season. We are here inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. And, of course, they're open for you for indoor and outdoor seating, as well as takeout and delivery. Call 315-487-2222. You can call that exact same number to see if you can reserve their separate room that they have there, which is perfect for game day, perfect for all of your parties, all of your events, your banquets, and so much more. Family reunions. If you want to have a rehearsal dinner for the wedding, listen, there's so many things that you could do at the Wildcat. 315-487-2222. So make sure you make the call today because they are filling up fast, especially throughout the summer. With that being said, the AFC East, the Bills, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. Man, I've been talking about Gabe Davis since I talked to him in Rhode Island when I was covering the American Athletic Conference there at UCF, and I was standing next to him. I've been telling y'all about Gabe Davis, and that man went off in the playoffs. And I think collectively every fantasy football owner let out a four-letter word that rhymes with duck. And obviously, I mean, suck. But, you know, I'm just – the reality of it all is Gabe Davis finally did what I said he was going to do and more. But we didn't get to have the dividends of it. So can he make that consistent? We shall see. Isaiah McKenzie's there. He's a young receiver. Tavon Austin, after one season in Jacksonville, is there in Buffalo. Jamison Crowder is 100 years old, and he is there. Covered him in high school, in college. Can't believe this man's still rocking and rolling. I think he wants to play for every AFC East team, maybe every AFC team before he's done. And Stephon Diggs is leading the charge. So is Gabe a true number two? And where is the value beyond Stephon Diggs, as well as how high do we draft Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I like Stephon Diggs. You know, he's in good company. He's in with those top names. He's in with the Cooper Kupp, the Justin Jefferson, the Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams. Then Stephon Diggs. I got him as a top five receiver. I think this is the guy who could get himself up above, you know, maybe Devontae Adams, maybe Jamar Chase. I don't know. Right now I got him at five. I think that's a good spot for him. He's definitely your wide receiver one. I would definitely target him. I'm interested in having him on my team. Gabe Davis, yeah, he showed up late. Yeah, he's got the size, and yeah, he's got good hands, and yeah, he's a good red zone target. I can't draft that guy any more than a bottom-end wide receiver three, more likely a wide receiver four. And you could probably get him at that because I don't think he's a household name. I don't think a lot of people are aware of him. So, yeah, you know, I'll target him as a wide receiver four. And if he falls to me, great. Jamison Crowder, I got to see some things still. 29 years old. He's been around the league a little bit. Khalil Shakir, I'm interested in. There's a reason why they drafted him. So, yeah, you know, I kind of like what they got going on here. Josh Allen, a great quarterback. They bring in James Cook to solidify that run game. Weren't happy with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary splitting it up. So I don't think there's a real threat at tight end. Yeah, I know they brought in A.J. Howard and they got Dawson Knox. I think the threat in the red zone is Gabriel Davis. Touchdown only league. Maybe he's a solid wide receiver three. But in a combo league, even if it's PPR, I'm saying Gabe Davis is a bottom end three, really comfortable with four. But Stephon Diggs is your wide receiver one, hands down.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, top five wide receiver, if not a top four. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Gabe Davis, I have him a little bit higher than a three. I would put him as a low end two, high end three, because I believe that his stock should be rising, but we'll see. He has to be consistent. That's where my issue lies. Now, the thing that, you know, we talk about average draft position, I think Bills fans will take him early. I think that if you're in, if you have like an 18, if you have 15, 18 rounds, we have 18 rounds in our wake up call fantasy leagues. If you're doing a draft like that, then I would put Gabe in the middle of that. I'd put him as an eighth or ninth round guy, which puts him as a three or a four. I do think he has the ability. That's what I probably should say. He has the ability to rise to a two. He's safe at a three because of his inconsistency. You mentioned Khalil Shakir, and he is coming from Boise State. He's a 1,000-yard wide receiver. He had 872, 719, and 1,117 in his last three seasons, six touchdowns or more in each of those last three seasons for Boise State and the Smurf Turf. So, you know, watch him, watch what he can do, and watch Jameson Crowder, especially in the return game. The Bills may – it may behoove you to get the Bills' defense and special teams for their defensive prowess and for their special teams return guys, the guys that can maybe electrify and ignite some things and punt and kick returns. So Stephon Diggs is the guy. Gabe Davis is still the hopeful guy. He hasn't taken the two yet, and so I think it's safe to say he's a wide receiver three. But I hope that this is the year that he takes charge, because he went off in the playoffs, but he has to show consistency. That's the one thing he hasn't done, is show consistency in his game, and that is why you can't put him as high as I want to put him, but Stephon Diggs can be a top four in my book. Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, who says that Tua Tagovailoa throws a better ball than Pat Mahomes, who's making almost $50 million a year. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, who we know has shined as a rookie in fantasy, and then it's a bunch of names. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Jalen Waddle. I think he's probably the best receiver on the team, but I think Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, definitely beat him in a foot race. So that puts Tyreek Hill a little ahead of Jalen Waddle. Look, I think Tyreek Hill can be a top 10 receiver with Miami. I think Tua's very underrated. I think they show this one pass all the time of Tua where he comes up short. He underthrows receivers. That's okay, you know, because Tyreek Hill is fast. And if you look, there's a lot of times that Tyreek Hill is so fast, he made it look like he was being underthrown a lot. He came back for the ball a lot under Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if that Patrick Mahomes versus Tua thing is legit. I think he's just trying to set a flame somewhere and then, you know, make sure his new quarterback knows, hey, this guy won a Super Bowl. Hey, this guy's considered one of the top players in the league, and I think you're better than him. You know, it's a lot of rah-rah
He might just
stuff.
Be saying, hey, give me the ball, so I'm going to beat
yeah,
up your
Yeah,
ego.
It's a lot of rah-rah stuff, and I get it, and I'm good with that too. So Tyreek Hill, right now I got him at number nine, but I think he's likely to drop into wide receiver two territory. That's dangerous. If he falls to me at the right spot, you know, so be it. Jalen Waddle right now, I got him at 17. I think he's a worthy receiver to have on your team. I just don't think he's any more than a wide receiver too, especially with Tyreek Hill in the room. And then you got to look at Miami. What are they going to do? Are they going to try to run the ball? They got 150 running backs on the roster that have been on NFL teams, so they're probably going to run the ball quite a bit as well. So I think if you have a balanced attack, Mike Gesicki's in the fold, Tyreek Hill stretching the field, Jalen Waddle underneath, Cedric Wilson's a guy who you may want to roster if you draft Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle in case one of those guys go down. Cedric Wilson could be the guy that steps up. But, yeah, I'm not in a hurry to claim one of these guys the best receiver in the league. But Tyreek Hill right now, number 9, Jalen Waddle number 17 right now.
Yeah, I think both of them have value to your team. I think Jalen Waddle is going to be drafted high because I think people are getting sold on what he was able to do last season. I think Tyreek Hill, listen, he's never had to be – a top receiver, right? He's never had to be the guy. He was involved in the offense, but he's not your typical number one guy who's going to run to the outside. So, you know, how this is going to work out, I think it's still Waddle to do this, and then I think Tyreek to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Tyreek's speed makes him dangerous, but I think Jaylen Waddle, he's played with Tua, and Jaylen Waddle has relevancy on this team. So I'm still wondering if Tyreek Hill is going to be a boom or bust now that he's left Kansas City, and that's going to be left to be seen. So I think Tyreek Hill will be drafted high. I think he'll be drafted within the first three rounds. I think Jaylen Waddle will as well. And I think Jaylen Waddle might be drafted right after him. So we shall see where this will go. I actually have Waddle's value a little bit higher than Tyreek Hill on this team specifically because of the relationship with Tua. Tyreek is the easy pick because what he did in Kansas City, but he did that with Pat Mahomes, and he did it with Travis Kelce on the team. He did it with help. So what is he going to do on this team now that he's supposed to be the guy? That's the big question mark. I think Tyreek Hill is definitely going to give you some highlight reel moments, but I think Jaylen Waddle might be the more consistent wide receiver. I might take a flyer and go Jaylen Waddle if I'm in round number four, and I think Tyreek Hill might be drafted high. And listen, if you're going to draft him in round two, you're going to get him before me because I'm not going to go as high on Tyreek Hill as I may go on other guys that are out there. I think Jaylen Waddle has more value in Miami as of right now, based on what Miami is and based on their quarterback if Tua stays healthy. So with that being said, we head to the New York Jets. Elijah Moore, Corey Davis. Elijah Moore was drafted last year out of Ole Miss, and he's the number one guy because, like a lot of teams, Mike, he has to be on the depth chart right now. So that's what we have right now. Corey Davis coming from Western Michigan the year before my guy Tim Lester went back to his alma mater to coach. Garrett Wilson is there now, drafted number 10 overall by the Jets. And then we have from Ohio State, OHIO. And so we have Braxton Berrios on the team as well from Miami. And Denzel Mims, who's been around for a little bit here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, my first thought is you did good by skipping over to New England Patriots because I don't want any of those guys anyway.
I did it again.
I don't want any of those guys anyway. That's okay. But Corey Davis is a guy that can, bring some life to the wide receiver room, but I think it's Elijah Moore's the guy there. I think Elijah Moore's the guy that I want to have out of all of them, but he's a top-end wide receiver four for my team, as is Garrett Wilson. I mean, I like what these guys bring to the room and everything, but I'm just not sold on the situation yet. I need to see more. Yeah. I pretend I'm from Missouri. Say I'm from the Show Me State. Let me see something. So if I'm drafting this early, I'm not even looking at these guys in reality. Maybe a Garrett Wilson for Dynasty, definitely. I mean, he's one of the top receivers in a couple years. Be great to see him explode this year with what they have in Elijah Moore and what they have in a veteran in Corey Davis in that room.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to get all giddy over it. Elijah Moore right now, number 39 on my rankings. Garrett Wilson, number 46 on my rankings right now.
Yeah, I'm not really – I mean, listen, I think that this is arguably – I think this is the – this tells you about the Jets. I think all of the Jets' best players in fantasy and reality were drafted this year. I do. I think they were drafted this year or last year. Within the last 2 years, when I look at their roster – I think arguably the best players on this team, offensively, Breece Hall, Michael Carter, maybe Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, they were drafted within the last 2 years. And I think defensively, my guy Ahmad Sauce Gardner and company drafted this year. So to me,
that's a good sign for Jet fans.
It is. I think the Jets became relevant this year's draft and last year's draft. And I think this year I would argue that they had the best draft among all 32 teams. And I know other people have agreed with that, but I didn't wait for people to agree with me. I said that while the draft was going on. I said it in the first round. I said it outside of the first round. And I called their first three picks. I got in touch with my buddy Ross Turetsky, who's on the show a lot, a fellow Marywood alum. I said, Ross, am I wearing the wrong color green? Because I'm a Jaguars fan, but I seem to be more in tune with what the Jets are going to do with their team. So, you know, ultimately, and they got my guy Mekhi Becton last year on their offensive line. So I think the Jets are making the right moves to be relevant now. And I think that it's a little bit of a wait and see. I think Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, or Corey Davis could make an impact in this receiving core. I think Braxton Berrios and Denzel Mims, maybe they get involved in special teams. I'm not sold on drafting Elijah Moore high. I think he's a fourth wide receiver to me. I think Garrett Wilson is as well. And I think Corey Davis is below them. So I think that the future can be bright for the Jets. But I think in the here and now, I'm not going to mortgage my team on these players going into this season. The New England Patriots have Devontae Parker. He showed me a whole lot of nothing in Miami. Jacoby Myers, he had some moments, right? I know Greg, who watches and listens every single week to the broadcast, especially to fantasy football, and weighs in. I know he likes Jacoby Myers because of PPR and whatnot, but Jacoby Myers, he's still a question mark. Devontae's a massive question mark. Kendrick Bourne is non-existent. Nelson Agholor didn't pan out with Philadelphia, doesn't pan out with New England. And Keel Harry and Sony Michel, I feel like Bill Belichick can turn and look at the powers that be and go, this is why I don't want skill guys in the first round. Because look at the two guys that we got in the first round, and they've done a whole lot of nothing. Sony's not on the team, and Keel Harry might not be on the team after this season. He might be not on the team during this season. So you said I was right to skip over the Patriots because there's nothing here. The Jets, I would be in a holding pattern just like at a Jets, and I think it's going to land somewhere, and I think you need to watch it. I think the New England Patriots, you don't even take off with this team. There is nothing. This is a rickety old plane that I would never fly on, no matter how much you pay me. I don't care how sunny the day is. I'm waiting for a propeller to fall off. I am not going with any of these Patriots, but I hand it to you.
Well, I'll give you $1 million right now if you can tell me who the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots is. They don't have one. So if you don't have a coordinator, you got a second-year quarterback, you got a bunch of also-rans, you got a guy in Keel Harry who wears number one. Buddy, in college, that number one is reserved for one of the best players on the team. I don't even know if you're going to make the team in Keel Harry. So, you know, with that in mind, it is what it is. I'm excited for Tyquan Thornton in the 16-team dynasty. I was able to get him at the end of the second round. I think the future looks bright for him. But I think Devontae Parker is the number one receiver on the team. And I got him ranked at 57 right now, and I think that might be high. So, I mean, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, Nelson Agholor, Trey Nixon, Ty Montgomery, Lil Jordan Humphrey. What am I doing here? I'm in the wrong room. I feel like, did you ever walk into a grocery store and you're like, wow, I thought I needed to come here today. I guess I don't need to come here today. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those things. You're like, I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time. So I'm staying away from New England. Tyquan Thornton's the future, maybe in the Dynasty League, but I'm not overly excited about drafting any of these guys.
Yeah, I said what I said, and I stick by what I said. Moving on. So now we go to the AFC West, and we start with the Denver Broncos. And my guy, Nate Hackett, if you want to watch a sit-down conversation with Nate Hackett, picture-in-picture. Picture. 20 minutes of goodness with my buddy, who I've known for a decade now. You can go and check out Nate Hackett on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Just search Nate Hackett and Dan Tortora. You'll find us very easily. Russ, the bus is there, and this is great news because Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, oh my gosh, they've been needing somebody to love them right. Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler are still there. Kendall Hinton has transformed himself from the quarterback I covered in Wake Forest to a wide receiver in the NFL. What are your thoughts now? Do Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, if they can stay healthy, finally have a good tandem in fantasy football that we can actually lean on now that they have Russell Wilson?
No.
Rare.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, Cortland Sutton's the number one. Jerry Jeudy's the number two. I'm not overly excited. I think they're going to run the ball when they're done doing that. I think they're going to run the ball some more. I think they're going to throw some balls to the running backs on some wheel routes and on some screens. Javonte Williams, they brought back Melvin Gordon. I don't see a reason for them to panic here at wide receiver. And there's no reason for you to panic. I think Cortland Sutton's going to be overdrafted. He's the bottom-end wide receiver two for me right now. He's number 25 on my rankings. Jerry Jeudy, number 30 on my rankings. He's in the slot, and he's going to make some hay. I can't really say, oh, yeah, these guys are my number one receiver. So if either one of these guys are my number two slash number three receiver, Courtland Sutton over Jerry Jeudy, I'm excited. Tim Patrick can also ran if one of those guys get injured or if you want to handcuff him late in the draft. But,
yeah.
You know, I usually don't handcuff receivers because there's so many of them. And so many guys are going to peak. There's so many peaks and valleys. So I like Russell Wilson. I think it's an improvement for the team. If you look at what Russell Wilson did in Seattle, they always had a strong running attack one way or the other. If it wasn't Chris Carson, they were churning somebody else in there. So they run the ball. Russell Wilson runs the play action well. He rolls out well. That doesn't bode well for a lot of teams a lot of times, but that's the magic formula at Russell Wilson. So I like what they have going on. I think they're going to win some games. I think these guys are going to be productive, but I think it's going to be more of a team production thing. I don't think it's going to be one guy outshining. But right now, like I said, I got Courtland Sutton at 25, Jerry Jeudy at 30.
Yes. And so, I mean, I think, you know, and that's, you know, 25, 30 when you look at wide receiver rankings. I mean, I think that puts me in a situation of a fourth or fifth round, right? You know, so you can wait to a certain point to get them. I think I start thinking about these guys in the fourth or fifth round. You know, I'm going to go high on my wide receivers and my running backs and take a look at some guys and try to build that up a little bit before I go to these gentlemen. And I had Courtland Sutton at SMU, and I respect him and Jerry Jeudy, but I'm going to wait until the fourth or fifth round to go after them. I think that they have value. I just am leery of the fact of them getting drafted very high, and it hasn't worked out. Now, they have Russell Wilson. I mean, it's a different world now. But I am just going to wait a little bit. I'm in a holding pattern for them, too. They're talented. They need to stay healthy. They need to stay in the field together because they help each other. And Russell Wilson needs to have a good relationship with them. So there's a lot of, is it going to happen? Can it happen? Will it happen? As you said, the best ability is availability, and these guys need to show that. So it's a question mark. I feel better about their receiving core than others, but it's a question mark. Kansas City Chiefs, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, my guy Sky Moore from Western Michigan. What up, dude? Mike and I both said you were going to get drafted in the first round by Kansas City. They got you in the second round, but you went to the team that we thought you would go to. So your thoughts on this? Justin Ross is there from Clemson. I covered him as well. So what's your take on a new-look Kansas City receiving core? Outside of Mecole Hardman, it's all new.
Yeah, I think, you know, they have that chant in Kansas City. They do it in Florida State, too. I think they do that, the warrior chant or whatever. I think it's going to be replaced with some boo birds because I don't think the fans are going to be accustomed to not having a Tyreek Hill there. If you think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to come in and beat Tyreek Hill, you're sadly mistaken. He couldn't even be the number one guy on his team. He's a great number two. The problem is there's not a great number one here beside him. Mecole Hardman, yeah, he's fast, but can he stay on the field? Can he get on the field with the other guys around him? Is he good enough? Valdez-Scantling, he's hit or miss. He's too spotty for me. Sky Moore I like. I like Sky Moore a lot. If you're in a dynasty situation, a 4.4 speed out of Western Michigan, this is a guy who plays even faster than that because he's shifty. He's got quick feet. So there's a difference between quickness and speed. Speed is how fast I run to 40. Quickness is how soon can I make that cut? How soon can I react? So that's the difference between quickness and speed. This guy has them both. Kind of twitchy like that, kind of like a Tyreek Hill. Now, I'm not saying Sky Moore is going to be Tyreek Hill, but he's the most intriguing receiver to me on the roster. I would spend a late flyer on him. Somebody else will if you don't. I'm not counting on a Juju Smith-Schuster to be any more than a wide receiver 3 for me. I'm not counting on a Valdez-Scantling or Mecole Hardman to be even on my roster. Yeah. So it is what it is there. They're going to run a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're going to look to get Sky Moore involved. But I think Juju Smith-Schuster is just going to be blanketed with the other team's number one or double teamed, and they're going to shut him down, make somebody else beat him.
I said when Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh, let's see if Juju can be a true number one. I don't think that he can. He didn't. Now he's got the shot in Kansas City, and I don't think it's going to happen again. Sky Moore has the value late in the draft. Juju If you want to draft him in the eighth or ninth round of a 10 to 12 team league, fine. Draft him in the middle. See what you can get out of him. He's a third string guy on my team. I know when I've needed to put somebody on my team due to injury, and I've gone to Kansas City, and I've given some of these guys a shot, it doesn't work out. Kansas City, as good as their offense is, as high-powered as it is, I think people get lost in Kansas City being good in reality and scoring, and they think, oh, I can put anybody on my team and it's going to work out. That's not the case here. These guys individually don't have value. Collectively, realistically, together, they might win games, but fantasy-wise, they don't have the value. Juju, McColl, Marquez, they don't have the value. The best value you're going to find is Sky Moore because they're trying to replace Tyreek Hill. And they might flip him the ball in the backfield. They might do a lot of different things with him. Sky Moore is a late-round potential sleeper stud. Outside of that, if you draft Juju before me, I don't care. And if you draft McColl Hardman or Marquez Valdes-Scantling, in my opinion, you wasted your pick. So we move on. It's no disrespect to them. I'm talking about fantasy. I love all these dudes. It's hard to make it in the NFL. I'm just not drafting these guys. That's where I'm at when I'm talking about this. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders and Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow. Hey, remember when I told you Hunter Renfrow wasn't a fifth-string wide receiver and how I watched him and how, if not for him, Deshaun Watson wouldn't have beaten Virginia Tech when he was with Clemson playing in the ACC Championship at the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, that the Hunter Renfrow hands were what was going to keep him in the NFL and make him relevant and eventually make him rise on the depth chart? He's number two only to Devontae Adams right now. Demarcus Robinson from Kansas City is now with the Raiders. Keelan Cole, who went from Jacksonville to the Jets, is now with the Raiders. And Mac Hollins, who I covered at UNC, is now with the Raiders. What are your thoughts?
I think Devontae Adams is a true number one. He's number four on my rankings. He partners with his old college buddy, Derek Carr from Fresno State, where they aired it out. They're going to air it out here, and they're going to prove each other right. Derek Carr is going to put it up for his buddy, and Devontae Adams is going to prove that he can still do it without Aaron Rodgers. So I like this combination a lot. If I can get Derek Carr as my quarterback and Devontae Adams as my wide receiver, I would be happy. Every time they score a touchdown, I'm getting it twice. So I'm good with that situation. Hunter Renfrow, he's a better number two than he is number one. He'd be a bottom-end wide receiver three, maybe wide receiver four on my fantasy team, though. Because don't forget, he's got a battle for targets with not only Devontae Adams, but Darren Waller. Darren Waller's a solid receiver. He's probably arguably the 1A there to Devontae Adams being the one. So DeMarcus Robinson, Gator, I like the guy, but you know, I just don't think anything's going to happen here. So I think the only receiver that you can really draft and count on is Devontae Adams. Hunter Renfrow's a late round. You know, if he's available for some reason toward the end of the draft, go ahead and pick him up. But don't confuse the situation. Darren Waller is still a healthy target as a number one tight end in all fantasy football. So you got one of the top wide receivers and top tight ends that doesn't leave a lot of targets left for the rest of the guys. So, again, Devontae Adams, top five. Hunter Renfrow, maybe a wide receiver three, wide receiver four for me, if that. And I like Darren Waller a lot at tight end, but we'll get to that in another show. I do like what they got going with Devontae Adams and Derek Carr. I'm excited to see this play.
Draft Hunter Renfrow in the teens. We take a break after the first nine rounds, and then we come back in round number 10. Draft Hunter Renfrow after that break. Draft Devontae Adams within your first two rounds. That's all I have to say to you. Move on. Devontae Adams, it's clear. Hunter Renfrow is better than you think he is. But Devontae Adams is going to give Darren Waller help, and Darren Waller has been the best receiver on that team for the last few seasons. So now that Waller has Adams, I expect and hope that Waller is going to get even better in fantasy. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, we were asked this question, who has the better draft value? I think historically it's been clear. Josh Palmer is there, and then a bunch of names. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Keenan Allen. I still think he's the number one receiver. I think he's the bottom end number one for me, number 11 on my rankings. But I think he's the go-to guy. He's in the slot now. Josh Palmer, I'm not overly excited about because, well, Mike Williams is in his way, and Mike Williams is going to get some throws. Mike Williams could get himself into a situation where it's kind of like Mike Edwin's Chris Godwin situation or with Keenan Allen, but I don't know so much. I'm kind of mixed bag on him right now. I like the guy, though. I like him a lot. He's number 24 on my ranking. So right now, Keenan Allen, bottom end wide receiver one. Mike Williams, bottom end wide receiver two for me. Because don't forget, they got Austin Ekeler, who's probably the best receiver on the team, in my opinion, even over Keenan Allen. They bring in Isaiah Spiller. Justin Herbert's been doing a great job. Gerald Everett they brought over. I think he's going to do a great job in the red zone and in third down conversion. So, again, I like Keenan Allen, bottom end wide receiver one. Mike Williams, bottom end two.
Keenan Allen caught 106 balls last year. 1,138 yards. 6 receiving touchdowns. Mike Williams caught 76 balls, 1,146 yards, and 9 receiving touchdowns. Mike Williams was targeted 129 times. Keenan Allen was targeted 157 times. These guys are worth having in your top three receivers when you're drafting. They're not a number one on my team. They're a number two and beyond. But if you look at your draft and you take a break in those first 9 rounds and you have 3 to 4 receivers on your team and one of them is Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, then you put some meat in the patty and you're going to be all right. So, you know, I think either one of these guys has value. I think Keenan Allen is still the number one guy. I think Mike Williams, he's still there, you know, and I wondered, like, how long was this going to go on for, but it's still going on. So I think there's value in both. I put a little bit more on Keenan Allen. They're both 1,000-yard receivers. They're both 1,100-yard receivers, and they both get targeted over 100 times. They both catch more than 70 balls. So Keenan Allen, for everything he's been through and his injuries and all that stuff, to have 106 catches last season. And listen, Justin Herbert, I don't know if anybody throws a better ball in the NFL right now. So you got a good team. You got good receivers. You got Ekeler, who's going to steal some of it from those guys, but they both eat even when he eats. So the Chargers are a nice offense to watch. They're a fun team to watch. And if not for that other team in LA, they would be the team to watch in Los Angeles, even though people in Los Angeles leave at halftime because they want to beat traffic. So there's a lot of good stuff going out there. And if I was in Los Angeles, if I went to a game, I'd put a hammock and I'd sleep in the parking lot because I am not paying to drive home. I'm not paying those gas prices. You can't make me do it. I won't do it. So with that being said, they both have value. I give a little bit more to Keenan Allen, but I like them both. And I put up a poll. Who would you draft first of these four guys? Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, or Ja'Marr Chase? That's going up. You can vote on Twitter at CallDT. That's CallDT. I put a poll up on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook at Wake Up Call DT, Twitter at Call DT. Is Rob Gronkowski the best tight end ever in the NFL? Most of you have said yes. And one guy said no. Well, he said, who cares? And guess who he was? A Bills fan. So that's why he said what he said. And last week we asked you, which Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiver would you draft first this year? Godwin before Evans or Evans before Godwin? And you agreed with Mike and I. 66.7% said Evans before Godwin. 33.3 said Godwin before Evans. So that's where we sit right now. Mike, as always, Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. Both of us winning fantasy football. The group on Facebook, of course, WakeUpCallDT.com. We appreciate you all, and we thank you all for being a part of the show. So 2-plus round difference between the two receivers, if you guys factor in a draft position. So, okay. So I would say, I mean, I think when Keenan Allen gets drafted, Mike Williams is going to go right after him. That's where I think ultimately things shake out. I think that that's one of those, I think certain teams, once you pick one, the next guy goes. I think that's that situation with the Chargers. I think Mike Williams and Keenan Allen will probably go in the same round or very close to each other. With that being said, this is the Fantasy Football Power Hour. We thank you for being a part of the show. As always, brought to you by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. And, of course, 315-487-2222 for takeout, delivery, and to reserve their amazing, massive room with a stage and a giant screen. We use it for our fantasy football drafts. We will see you there soon, and I appreciate you so very much for all you do. To the Wildcat, to the family, started by Danny Tome and continuing on from there. They have a great lineage of awesome people. And with that being said, I hope you all have a fantastic day. Stay safe from the Cafe Cubal Studios. That is Mike. I am Dan. I will talk to you soon. Mike, as always, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast.
All right. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk to you next time.
See you.